It's amazing that we act in this world today as people don't want the Lord. That's what people will tell you. But they're searching for the Lord. It's not that the old-fashioned ways don't work. It's the old-fashioned ways aren't used. Let me say that again. That's a good one. It's not that the old-fashioned ways don't work. The old-fashioned ways aren't being used. Let me help you. We don't want to bring the new in here. The new is not working. Paint whatever philosophy of religion you want to. You say, well, they're packing buildings with the new, but it's not working. If you think the people are finding the Lord in Joel Osteen's football stadium right now, they're not. They're not finding God there. And you, well, quit talking bad about people. The only reason I'm telling you this is because they're not finding the Lord there. It's very difficult in this day and age because we have come to the conclusion that what we're doing is not working. We're doing it God's way. What else can we do? Amen? I've heard stories in the last 2 weeks, three different people pulling into this parking lot and pulling right out because they've got nowhere to park. Amen? Now that breaks my heart because two of those three were lost. It's not working. They've got to get in here so we can use it. Amen? Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bibles with me this morning. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, we've been talking the last several weeks about how do I serve the Lord. And believe me, and I know I've said this 8 million times, and I'll probably say it 8 million more. When you signed on and got saved, let me ask the military men a question. When you signed your name on the line to serve your country, and I thank God that you did, by the way. You're a hero of mine, no doubt about it. But when you signed your name on that dotted line or that solid line or whatever line it was, did you have the opportunity to back out? I'm quite certain that they followed right behind you and you were now owned by the United States government. You did basically what they told you. That not correct? If you did not do what they told you, what happened? Push-ups came. KP came. Running came. I would assume Brother Myers disobeyed a lot. Did they do? I'm just kidding. When you got saved, you signed up for a different army. And let me tell you something. The United States government didn't sacrifice for you. You sacrificed for us. But Jesus Christ sacrificed for you. And if you got saved, you owe a debt. Now, you'll never be able to pay it, but it's something that you ought to try to. Amen? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Holy, by the way, not new age. Holy, not coffee shops in the foyer. Holy, not rock bands on the stage. I'm talking, by the way, that's not a stage, that's a platform. I hate it when people call it a stage. Say what you want to. That's just a quirk that I have. And preachers are nuts, by the way. I'll just let you know that right off the bat, but I'm sure you're aware. I don't want the new ways. I want God's ways. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You owe a debt. This debt is reasonable for you to attempt to repay. You're not going to repay that if you're not in church. That went over like a lead balloon, brother. You're not going to repay that debt by not paying your tithe. Get mad at me all you want to, but if you keep your money in your pocket, you're not doing right by God. You've brought a curse on your house and those around you if you're not paying your tithe. Get mad at me all you want to. I'll take you to the Bible, argue with God. You say, I can't afford to pay. You can't afford not to pay. You can talk to me all you want to about it, but I'm telling you, I have struggled all my life financially, but I've never struggled to give God what's His.
Well, you're a preacher. You ought not to struggle.
Preachers struggle more than you can imagine. Now, All those things being said and all those things that we can do, we are doing our best to repay God for what He's done while we serve Him. You say, well, I've got to do something magnanimous to serve God. No, I know two people that served God this morning by sucking up water down in a hallway.
Well, that's not good enough.
Well, you weren't doing it. I know people that go around picking up trash that serve God. I know people that got in bus or vans and cars and went out to pick up kids and made phone calls doing what? Serving God. We're not going to pray them in front of you. I can't stand that kind of thing. But understand this, they serve God this morning. You're here sitting, listening to the preaching. You're serving God right now. This is easy talk right now. You can serve God sitting down. Praise the Lord. Air conditioning's working. Isn't God great? See, we can serve God in a lot of different ways, but very few of us find that serving God is that appealing. Well, it's not excitable serving God. That's because you're not leading people to Christ. It's not excitable serving God. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that I know that have had their souls won to Christ, and because they did, their lives changed. And if you can't get excited about that, check out your ticker. Where could I be right now if it wasn't for Pastor Skyver that went down to Galena Street and started up that church, and I went there and got saved? Where would I be? That's exciting to me. It's exciting to me to know from whence I came, from where I was. And then even after I got saved, I turned into an ingrate devil. I'm telling you, it's horrible. Since then, I've put on a suit. That's funny, by the way. I'm issuing pom-poms to Marie next week. Now, let me tell you something. I'm still that sinner. But now God's got a hold of me, and I get excited about that. But where would I be if it wasn't for Ron Brown? Where would I be if it wasn't for Pastor Skyver? Where would I be if it wasn't for going up his chain? Where would I be? Now, I want to talk to you this morning just a little bit. Why has God saved you? Why? Can anybody raise their hand and tell me that you deserved it? Can anybody raise their hand and say, God's good that He did because He got me? I don't believe any of us can do that. I believe everyone in here knows that you're a sinner, or if you don't know you're a sinner, you're not willing to tell everybody that you're not. And if you're willing to tell yourself that you're not a sinner, you're deceiving yourself. And the truth is not in you. Now, I want to talk to you this morning. Why should I win souls? Let's leave tithing aside. Huh? Let's leave church attendance aside for a moment. Let's leave standards aside for a moment. I'm not going liberal. I'm just asking you a question. All these things, all these church things that you ought to do them. And I don't know why people don't do them. All these things aside, why should you win souls? Because one of the most difficult things for people to do is to win souls. And I understand you're warning souls that God does the winning. We'll get to that in a moment. But in Proverbs chapter 11, I want you to see this. In Proverbs 11 and verse 30. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. We're gonna start here for a second, but I want to get you to jog your memory some. I want to take you back to the day, and by the way, this is all personal, so don't tell me about it. I want to take you back to the day where somebody that was wise met you. I want to take you back to the day where somebody wise decided to open up the Word of God to you. I got to believe that everybody in this room got saved because of the efforts of a very wise person. Because of the efforts of a person that decided, today I'm going to go soul winning. Hang with me. Don't leave me. Don't get those sneers off your face. You're much prettier when you smile. Somebody got wise one day. Somebody did. And not because they won you. because they want a soul. You just happen to be that soul. I was very lucky that I went to Lighthouse Baptist Church on Galena Street. I was very lucky. My aunt and uncle took me one time, and I got saved that one time. Boy, God's good. And I remember hearing that message from Ron Brown preaching about hell. And by the way, you that work in the children's ministry, don't you stop preaching about hell. Kids understand just fine. I'm one of them. It's hot. I don't want to go there. That's what else do you need to know? God loves you, doesn't want you to go to hell, died for you. Then I don't want to go there. I got an option. Heaven is it. Praise the Lord. I'll take it. Why do you try to put so much to it? Ron Brown decided that he wanted to go to church that day. You have to make the decision in your life. I want to serve God today. Got to be a decision. And by the way, I've watched people all around me at this church that have served God in the bus ministry longer than I've been alive. Why? Because they made a decision that they're going to serve God. They're going to bring kids. They're going to do what they have to do to win souls. And what they do is this. They've decided that somebody, and this is why we win souls now, you better listen to me, somebody was wise the day you got saved. It was the person that led you to Christ. Whether it was a preacher, whether it was a message, whether it was a personal soul winner, whatever it was, somebody was wise that day, and they imparted to you the wonderful knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I took it. But it didn't say I was the wise one. It said the soul winner was the wise one. Amen? Am I misquoting the scripture? He that winneth souls is wise, not he that took Christ. I mean, I think it's wise to take Christ, but the Bible says the soul winner is wise. Now, I want to tell you this because, listen, somebody loved you. Why do we win souls? Somebody, if you go back to the day that you got saved, and I hope and pray that you're saved. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, what I don't know what in the world you're waiting on. I am amazed. I am amazed that people don't get saved. I am amazed. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I am amazed that people skip that. I'm amazed. Well, I'll do cartwheels, or I'll do these great, wonderful things. I'll do the 12 sacraments of the Catholic Church. I'll go get catechized and baptized and pasteurized. None of those things matter to heaven. All you got to do is accept the Lord. Ah.
You know, that's just easy believism.
What, do you think Jesus is going to make it hard on you? He went to the cross. He paid all the hard stuff. All you got to do is believe on him. My thought process is this. Why don't we win souls? Because we forgot that somebody won us. Amen? Do you remember the day you got saved? It took guts for that person to tell you about Christ. It took guts. It really did. And by the way, I'm not standing before you today as somebody that believes he's a great soul winner. I'm not. I believe in this church, sitting in this room right now, get mad at me all you want to, I believe Mike Sells does the best job of leading people to Christ. I believe with all my heart. He takes the Lord with him wherever he goes. I want to be more like him. And I'm not, I don't care about holding people up. That means nothing to me. Hey, he's a dirty, rotten sinner, and he knows it. That's not the point. The point is I want to do better. Why do we win souls? We win souls because we owe Christ a debt. Why do we win souls? Because somebody led us. You should have a desire in your heart to lead people to Christ because somebody led you there. He that winneth souls is wise. You met a wise man one day or woman one day. And that wise man or woman told you about Jesus Christ. And you're going to get to go to heaven someday because of that wise man or woman. And because of that wise man or woman telling you about Jesus Christ and you having the opportunity to accept him and you accepting him, glory to God, hallelujah, amen. You accepting him now gives you the ability to go in the power of the Holy Ghost to lead people to Christ. You say, I can't do it. You're right, but I know a man who can. You say, I don't know what to say. Doesn't matter. Holy Ghost will tell you what to say. I don't want you to get in an argument with somebody over accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe that's an argument. You either accept him or you don't. You arguing is a rejection. See, what you got to do is this. You got to understand something. It's not about who you talk to, it's that you talk. It's that you talk. You owe. Why do we win souls? Because somebody won us. Somebody won us. Somebody, and I'm talking about Saturdays, amen. Come on out for Saturday soul winning. But Christ needs to be part of your vocabulary. Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't do anything but church. Really. I don't know anybody basically outside of this building. Everybody I know is here. Everybody I know shows up for the church picnics. Everybody I know is a Christian, and they're right here. But that does not stop me from passing out a tract. I need to tell people about the wonderful Jesus Christ that saved my soul, and one of these days is either going to take me up in the rapture or take me home because I died. And that home is not going to be hell. That home is going to be heaven. Why do I want to win souls? Because I owe a debt. We get so wrapped up in everything else. Listen to me. Why don't we have a building? Why don't we have buses? Why don't we have this? Why don't we have that? Our job is to win souls. We use those things as tools. Why do we run the buses? To win souls. We don't run the buses so we up our Sunday school numbers. We don't want to have that building so we run 800. We want to run that building so we have more opportunities to win souls. Why do we win souls? Because we owe a debt. Every one of us owes a debt. A debt that you cannot pay. But boy, you can sure give it a shot. Why do we win souls? Because somebody won you. Why do we win souls? Because Jesus has somebody waiting for you to win. Now here's the thing. We act as if, I want you to turn to Ephesians with me real quick. We act as if God's in control of most things, right? We act as though God can't help us. I want you to think with me for a minute. This is going to sound silly, but I'm a simple thinker. I don't try to get too big, okay? God's asked us to win souls, correct? He says we're wise if we do. Our job, go ye, therefore, into all the world. So we're supposed to do what we can to win souls. Praise the Lord. Now we act as if, go win souls, I'm going to wait back here, is what God does. Dave, you go out. Brother Dave, you go out. I'm going to wait here while you go. Now do you think, now God's with you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is that what the Bible says? Pretty sure, that's pretty close. I will never leave you nor forsake you, but when you go to that door, I'm going to wait in the car. Is that what God does? Now, we act as if when we go to tell somebody about the Lord that he doesn't come. We act as if God has given us a job that we cannot possibly do. But the Bible tells me that he will never give us something that we cannot do. He will give us jobs and give us opportunities and give us things and ministries, and he will never give you something that you can't handle. So I got to believe that God is, he knows, right? I mean, I think God knows pretty much. I think that's a pretty easy statement to make, that God is having the intelligence enough to know that when he sends us out, that he knows what's going to happen. He's God, right? So we go out in fear, and I understand it's fearful. I get it. It's okay. And we knock on that door acting like God is 800 miles away. Oh, God, I'm out here on this island. Sure wish you'd come with me. God never left you. God's at the door with you. Why do we win souls? Because that's what God wants us to do. He's going to go with us, and Jesus has somebody lined up. It's funny. I don't pray this every time, which is foolish. But when I go out, I ask, Lord, please, put somebody in my path that's ready to hear. Now, I'm saying that a little bit selfishly. I got to be honest with you. A little bit selfishly. Because why? I want them to be ready to accept. That way I don't have to banter about. I don't have to come up with something good and witty. I want somebody to come up to me and say, hi, you must be a preacher. Can you tell me how to get saved? That's what I'd really like. Every time I go out, that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? I mean, if somebody just come up to you and say, man, you look like you're like a Bible guy or something. Can you tell me about the Lord? That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? What soul? That would be fantastic. But that's not the way it works, usually. Brother Sells was telling me about a fellow that he just came in contact with, Giant Eagle, the kind you don't ever want to talk to. Big, ginormous men, long hair. Certainly they're going to stab you with a knife if you go up and say anything about Jesus. But this is what happened, Brother Bill. There's many times that I see somebody and the Lord says, go tell them. And I tell God right back, there ain't no way. You ever done that? Oh, you are lying to me. Yeah, I've done it. Nobody else did. Never. God tells me I do it right away. I'll call your mother and ask him about your clean or dirty room. I'll tell you that right now. He went up and talked to the man. It's amazing. Got messed up. Line in the pharmacy moved forward, unbelievably enough. Lost track of him. He goes to put his groceries away. Next thing you know, this big man's walking out in the parking lot. God's so good. Could you give God a chance? Think about this for a minute. Could you give God a chance? Give God a chance to show you something. I'm telling me this too. Brother Dave, give God a chance to show you something. Give God a chance to show you what kind of a soul winner he can make you. Give God a chance. Why do we win souls? Because Christ has somebody ready for you. Only you. There's people that Brother Bill Turner can lead to Christ that I can't. There's people that Brother Marty Gannett can lead to Christ that I can't. There's people that you can lead to Christ that I can't. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? He comes out. He talks to Brother Mike. Brother Mike hands him a tract. Guy starts to cry. That's what you want. I mean, come on, that's what you want. You want somebody, their heart's pricked. Oh, my soul, this is what I've been waiting for. That's what he tells him. Big, huge man. And he goes up and talks to him. And because he did, because God told him to, God had a person ready. And if you wouldn't have gone, they wouldn't have got it. Why do we win souls? Because Christ has somebody ready for you to win. You personally. It's not that the old-fashioned ways don't work. It's the old-fashioned ways aren't being used. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, this is verse 8, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Obviously, this is talking about salvation, amen? Would you not agree with that? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, what's the good works he's talking about? Winning people to Christ, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has before ordained your steps. Bible says, steps of a good man are fashioned by the Lord. Now, wait a minute now. God has prepared a path for us. Amen? Why do we win souls? Because God has prepared a path for us and a person that we can talk to. A person that needs Jesus Christ. A person. A soul. Somebody that just like you, a wise person came to you, you can be that wise person to come to them. Not in your own wisdom, but in the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Why do we serve God? Why did we get saved? What is our purpose here? One of the greatest quandaries in all of life is, why am I on this earth? Right? Isn't that the question that has been perplexing people for years? I'll tell you what the answer is. It's to win souls and serve Christ. You may not like that. It may not fit into your plans. It may not fit into your schedule, but I'm going to tell you there's going to be a day that you look into the refining fires of your eyes of your Savior, and he's going to ask you, what did you do with the life I gave you? Don't talk about me. See, that's a day that's personal. Remember when I tried to tell you, I tell you all the time, keep your faith personal. Keep your faith personal. Don't you worry about me. Don't you worry about preacher. Don't you worry about Bill Turner. Don't you worry about them. We got a hard enough time all on our own. Don't you worry about us. You worry about you. You've got one person in this whole wide world to worry about, and that's you. That's you. That's you, not me. That's you, not Carl. That's you, not Mike Sells. It's you. Well, Brother Carl's going to win enough souls for everybody. I'll just ride on his coattails this week. Can you imagine if the Lord looked down and showed us everyone we missed? I thought about this the other day. Put a big orange mark on them. This is the one you missed. How many people in Ravenna? Come on now. I've got a bunch of people here that they never cease every 1 minute to tell somebody about Christ, just like Paul, with tears, warning everyone. I look at my life. And the message should be this morning, why don't I win souls? Come on, I'm just bearing myself to you this morning, whatever. You know who I am, you've been around me long enough. I'm very hard on myself. Very hard on myself. I can't stand accolades. I can't stand being up here having people back pat. I can't stand any of that. And you know why it is? It's not because of the compliments. That doesn't bother me. It's because of the sinner that I am. You understand something? I can't stand people to talk about me in a great way because I know in my heart that I don't do a good enough job for Christ. Oh, you're too hard on yourself. Oh, no, I'm not. I owe a debt, and I don't try to pay it enough. And this is what we have. We look at ourselves, and Jesus Christ has a person set up for us, and it's amazing. We walk towards them, and then we move. Because certainly, they don't want to hear about Christ. Or certainly, I don't have the time to lead them. How many times does that come into your mind? Boy, if I wasn't in a hurry today. I would love to tell somebody, I'm sorry I'm running late because I led somebody to Christ today. I think they'd forgive your tardiness. Amen? I think that they would give you an excuse. Maybe not at your work, because the work today, they don't care. But let me tell you something. I think that if you had a party to be to or a graduation event or somewhere you'd had to be and you was a half an hour late because you were leading somebody to Christ, I got to believe that they'd say, okay. One of the greatest tactics the devil has is keeping us busy. Come on, say amen to me. How many of you are working 90 hours a week just to make it now? How many of our families both together have to work now? Why, husband, wife, they have to work. Why? Just to make ends meet. They have to do all these things. Why? To keep them out of the service of the Lord. And I believe the devil's been very good at it, giving us excuses after excuses after excuses. And by the way, they're good ones. They're good ones. I'm not going to sit here and say your excuses are bad ones. Your excuses are good ones. They really are. I don't feel good. I got too much pain. I got all these things to do. I'm going to tell you right now, I understand that. And that's good excuses, but they are still, at the very best, excuses. We've got somebody that the Lord has lined up for us. And let me tell you something. I'm going to go back to this every time. God had somebody lined up for Ron Brown the day I got saved. And that person was me. Man, I'm glad he showed up. Man, I'm glad he didn't shirk his responsibility like I have done so many times. Because, number three, Jesus uses saved sinners to reach the unsaved people. Look at Mark chapter 16. How can a saved person lead an unsaved person to Christ? I don't understand it, because that's Jesus' plan. I can't explain it to you, but he hasn't sent a perfect person down in this world yet except for him. Mark chapter 16. Verse 14, the Bible says, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Christ is not happy here. Can you agree with that? He upbraided them because of their unbelief and their hardness of heart. So he's not happy. What's his marching orders with people he's not happy with? He doesn't say, okay, forget you. I'll pick somebody else. No, he comes out and he says this. And he said unto them, go. He says unto them, go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The people he just upbraided for their unbelief and for their lack of work and their lack of commitment and their lack of desire to serve him, he goes ahead and says, go, you're the ones I want to use. Yet we have a thought process that we're not good enough. or we don't have a good enough vocabulary of the things of God, or we're not capable. And let me tell you, I think you should take into the consideration that you may want to get some training to go out and lead a soul to Christ. Don't misread me. I don't think you should just go out and say whatever you want to say. I really don't. I think you ought to have a desire enough to want to be trained and exercise your faith enough to have one of these great soul winners that we have in this church maybe tell you, or maybe go along with them. But at the very same time, he uses us. Us. I'm not saying it's the best choice, but he uses us. It is the choice. You're it. So don't you think that God, I know he's upset with sometimes how we act. And by the way, you know when he is. Very few people can honestly look me in the eye and say, I just didn't know I was doing wrong. Come on. My 10-year-old tries that on me all the time. I said, son, I invented that. You know where your spirit is. You know what Christ wants to do with you. You know it. Are you still breathing in here? I think you are. I don't think anybody's died on me since I started. Some probably wish they would. But I'm going to tell you, if you're still breathing, God's got a wonderful job for you. And I know that you've messed up. I know, hey, he upbraided them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart. Don't be surprised if you have some unbelief and some hardness of heart. Don't be surprised. And because you do, and because of those things, God says to you, boy, you need to sit on the sideline and not do anything until you get right. Is that what he says? Does he say to you, you better drop out of church now? You better drop out. He didn't say, let's have a meeting, Brother Coolidge, and we'll get you all right. And once you're all right, and I've done everything I can, I've made sure that you understand of what sinners you are, then I'll go ahead and send you out. Is that what he said? He said, go. That's what he said. Amen. Is that what he said? I'm just reading the Bible to you. He said, go. He uses us sinners. That's why don't you dare claim that you won somebody to Christ. You lead them there, but he wins them. Because we're sinners. We're sinners saved by grace. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ employs us. Man, can you imagine the honor that is? That Jesus Christ, the Savior of all the world, the Almighty King of Kings, Creator of everything, looked down and said, I need Coolidge. Can you imagine that? He looks down at me, gets saved at 11 years old, living life like a devil, drinking like crazy, doing all the things that you ought not do. He kept me alive. Can you, wait a minute now. He kept me alive? It's easy as Christians to point your finger at somebody else. Boy, Phil's a mess. Whew. I can't believe God ever uses him. But that's why I ask you to make it personal to you. I can't believe God ever uses you. I can't believe God ever uses me. But he does. So don't you think he's going to make you able? Amen. Is anybody in here more able than anyone else? You got to be careful, because you act as though I can't do as good a job as Brother Bill Turner can. No. Are you a sinner? I'm fairly certain. I know you in a little while. I've seen you do a few things. Okay. He's a sinner, saved by grace. Praise the Lord. He is. You can't look at him and say he's better than you. See, we get this vernacular in our minds that we think that... We hold somebody up. And I know I just mentioned Brother Sells, but that's why I also said he's a sinner. You got to understand something. We're all the same. Every one of us in here. Don't you think for one minute that I am above you. The Lord taught people like me to be lower. Your preachers, they ought not be above. They ought to be below. That's the way, as a Christian, your thought process should be, how can I serve other Christians? How can I hold them up? Not how can I be greater? See, Jesus has this thought process. I'm going to use sinful people because they'll understand that they're sinners. It's wonderful. It's wonderful that he calls on you. It's wonderful that he uses us. It's wonderful. Why? Because we don't have to be somebody we're not. Brother Bob, who do you have to be? You got to be you. Listen. Can I tell you something? You do not have to be Brother Dave Ballard. Good Lord, we don't need more than one. Shush now. Say amen to that. No, seriously. We don't need more than one. He's got you. That's who he wants to use. Stop comparing yourself against other people. You have a person lined up for you, for you to win. But we get so wound up in, well, Dr. Hiles was the greatest preacher ever walked the face of the earth. Maybe. But at the very same time, what was he? A sinner. So what did he do? He did what God asked him to. Amen? Now, we're almost done with the first part. Because someone won you, because Jesus has somebody waiting for you, because Jesus uses saved sinners to reach the world, thank the Lord for that, because Jesus actually does the saving. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 18, one of my favorite verses. If you have an NIV Bible in here, you won't be able to look at this one. I really feel like we should open up the college again this fall. I really do. I'm starting to worry. Because I've had lots of conversations with people about that Bible. And I know you get irritated with maybe sometimes because I bring it up so much. But I'm going to tell you, this right here is the battle. This right here is it. This is what we're facing today. This is it. You better get this in your heart right now. This is what we're facing. The Bible. This is the battle. The Word of God is the battle right now. Yea, hath God said. The devil's so good at it. Yea, hath God said. This is the battle. And if you have an NIV Bible in your hand, this verse is missing. Gone. And unless you're a moron that can't count from 10 to 12, 10 to 12, 10, 11, 12, 11, right? 11? That's the number? If you can't count, then you're going to say, oh, that's no big deal. It's 10, 12, whatever. We must be going even numbers now. Look at this now. Verse 11, this is hard to understand. This is why they pull it out, because it's so hard to understand. This is a very difficult verse to get, okay? So please, I will try to interpret this as we go, because the King James Bible is so archaic and so difficult to understand. Here it goes. Matthew 18, 11, I hope you have it. If you don't, have somebody else look on with you, but understand, this is it. Matthew 18, 11, the Bible says, for the Son of Man, do we know who that is? Is that Jesus Christ? Boy, you're an intelligent crowd. You know what? Well, we better shut it down now. Everybody in here is so smart. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. I just don't understand that. If I were you, I'd just pull it out. Because obviously you're too dumb to understand that. Can you answer me a question? Because I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I think I know what the answer is. Why is that out? Why is that missing in the NIV Bible? If you don't think the devil's behind that, you're crazy. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Why do we win souls to Christ? Let's get back to that. Why do we win souls to Christ? Because the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost, and he's passed that on to us. We've been commissioned. We've been commissioned. We must understand that he does the saving. We just do the telling. You say, well, I get so depressed because I don't lead anybody to Christ. You've done your job. That's what your job is, to tell people about. You don't have to worry about your success rate. If you go out, you've won. If you go out, you've succeeded. If you go out, you've conquered. If you go out, you've done what you have to do. If you do what God has asked you to do to win souls, you've done your job. It's Christ's job to save them. It's your job to tell them, I'm not very good at it. That's not what he asked you to do. You should want to be good, but that's not what he asked you to do. He said, go. And if you go, he says, I'll take care of the rest. Moses, stammering tongue. Paul, contemptible speech. I think he used those men pretty good. I just wonder if we don't shirk our responsibility because we want to tell ourselves that we can't, because we haven't come to the realization it's He who can. Why do we win souls? Because Christ does the saving, and He saved me. And I'm so glad that Ron Brown showed up one day and told me about Christ. It wasn't that He was so great. It says He showed up. Why do we win soul? Because Christ gains victory through sinful people like you and like me, and wins people to Him. That's the first half of why we win souls, by the way. Praise the Lord. What a great God we serve. Amen? What a great God we serve. Aren't you glad that you're saved? Whew. Wouldn't it be great to have more people feel the way you do? Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this morning. Oh God, please, let us come to the realization that we are called to a very important duty. And Lord, without us, I don't know who will take our place. Lord, You took the time to leave the wonderful, glorious splendor of heaven to come down and breathe the putrescent air of earth, to walk among sinful people that hated You, to give of Yourself and then eventually Your life, to make a way for a person like me to become a sinner saved by grace. Oh, Lord God, I owe You a debt. Lord, please let my hardened heart decide to tell more people about You. Lord, help me. Help me to come to the grips of the realization that if I don't, who will? Lord, please, make me a better soul winner. Make my eyes become moist with the tears of the souls that are walking around me. Lord, let me realize that I'm saved. Wouldn't it be great that others could be too? Lord, be with us this morning. Be with my preacher. Oh, God, anoint the services this morning. We need You. Lord, please be with us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.